Attention women looking for transformation. Are you overwhelmed as a stay-at-home mom? Are you feeling broken in your life and are saying, if I were only younger, I would have more time to pursue my dreams? Are you looking for a new identity? Here is great news for you. Introducing a woman-centric radio show, Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sisters Talk Radio helps you develop valuable life tools for knowing how to get your goals and dreams accomplished despite defeating self-talk. On this mental health, wellness, and inspirational talk show, you will get massive motivation, encouraging nuggets that point you to what you should be doing with your dreams, and much more. African Oscar winner and best-selling author Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock introduces her co-hosts, Marlis Triplett Sells and Maxine Holt Donaldson.
Hey, good morning, good morning, good morning, good morning. Good morning, America. Good morning, Africa. Good morning, UK. Good morning, Europe. Good morning all over the world to all of our listeners. We thank you guys so much for joining us. It is the Saturday, July 2nd here in the United States. So this week, this is the weekend that we celebrate Independence Day here in America, or the 4th of July, some people call it. But it's the time that we celebrate our independence here. And so what we wanted to do on today's show is, you know, we want to talk about some things regarding freedom. And, you know, one of the issues, obviously, is the race issue. And last week, our show was about race in America. And we, you know, had some things that we wanted to just kind of touch over again today. But it also ties into our theme for today, which is freedom isn't free, because it's never free. And we know that, right? But before we do all of that, I want to bring up my two sisters, of course, our founder and creator, Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock. Hello, Dr. Princess Fomi Hancock.
Good morning, good morning, good morning, Africa, America, Britain, everybody. Good morning to you all. My sisters, Marlis and Maxine, good morning, good morning.
Good morning, good morning. And, of course, our this is our little bad sister over here, Miss Maxine Holt Donaldson. Hey, Maxine.
Good morning, all. Good morning, sisters. Good morning, everyone, and thank you for joining the show.
Awesome, awesome. So, ladies, how have your weeks been? Princess, how was your week?
Oh, hectic. You know me. Since we came back from Europe and Nigeria, I've just been trying to play catch up with the books and everything. So, oh, my goodness. Well, I'm playing catch up.
I'm sure you are. Maxine, how was your week?
That's what I'm doing. I'm playing catch up on my health. Since I've been back, I've been to the doctor several times because I didn't know what was going on. And we have a mutual friend that told us that when you come back from somewhere, you're going to feel like you have a virus, you're going to feel yucky, and that's what I'm going through now. And I did have my malaria test to make sure I don't have it, and I don't have it, so thank God. And they still think it's like a sinus infection, but this sinus infection is totally different. I didn't know, I don't even remember getting a fever with it, but I you know, continuously had a fever with it, so I'm on antibiotics to get over the sinus infection, so I'm healing, and that's been a good thing for me that I'm healing and doing my airborne twice a day, so that's a good thing. But I had one special thing that happened yesterday with John. He's actually in occupational therapy and physical therapy, and he's doing really good and hitting milestones and other things like that. And he does a lot of things, and he didn't come home and tell us. This is, I guess, any kid would do. He actually made a cake at school. And when I tell you that cake is delicious, it is delicious. I was like, oh, my goodness, this cake is so good. But that's one of his milestones and one of his goals he had to hit, I guess, in there was reading directions. And he's learning life skills, too, on how to live on his own. Because being a parent,
awesome.
We always did things for him. So.
But so Marlis, awesome.
Yes, Marlis, I need to talk to you. And how has your week been in the last 2 weeks? let our listeners know about what's going on with you.
Well, so it has, so of course it's always busy for me, and I say that all the time, and I know y'all like, nobody can be that busy, but yeah, I really can be that busy. So, you know, just busy at work and busy at home working on things that pertain to me, you know, because we do so much for so many other people, but then we seem to lag off when it comes to ourselves. But this time I've really been putting the focus on myself. And last week I can't even remember. But anyway, so I made the big announcement about my business. Finally, yes, up and running, Sales PA Services, your virtual business assistant. And so finally made the announcement about that and just working towards, you know, getting it off the ground and running and looking forward to what the future holds for being an entrepreneur and a businesswoman.
Right. So, Princess, do you want to open up the show with us talking about Marlis's new venture on her business? Because I have some questions to ask you, because I want our listeners to know I'm really excited about this business. Marlis, tell us what a virtual assistant is.
So a virtual assistant is basically, it is what the word says. It's a virtual assistant, so it's an assistant that does not have to be present with you. And so I think a lot of people, you know, they understand administrative assistant, they understand personal assistant, you know, because that's the person that's right there with you. But a virtual assistant is, it does the exact same thing, but they are just not there present with you.
Right.
So it gives you both a little more freedom to, you know, to maneuver and to work together.
I think the other thing, the other part of it with virtual assistants, which is a great thing. Congratulations, by the way, to you and your hubby for, you know, for starting this business, because I know that you guys are going to do great.
Thank you, Princess.
I know in America, even all over the world right now, people are trying, businesses are trying to cut down their overhead.
Right.
And so because of that, particularly with startup businesses, if you're out there, if you're just starting out on your own, you really cannot afford to have a secretary, a full-time secretary at your disposal. Otherwise, you know, you have to deal with employment issues, you have to deal with insurance, you have to deal with all of this. And as a startup offer, you know, you're constantly working at odd hours, which your regular secretary admin person would not be able to do. And so what you're bringing to people right now, which I've benefited from, is bringing peace of mind, first and foremost. A peace of mind knowing that you don't have that overhead. You don't have to worry about, oh, my God, she's done over 40 hours this week. Now what? You don't have to worry about that. And you have all the advantage of administrative assistant minus the headache of, oh, my God, she's sick today, then what do I do, and all this other kind of stuff. So I'm telling you, virtual assistant is the way to go now. Let me quickly talk to, I know I'm honing on my sister's business here, but can I just share? Let me quickly talk to all the authors out there. The authors out there, the writers out there, this is the kind of service that you need. Those who are in Storyteller Bistro right now, I am going to introduce them to PA Sales, because they need that, because many of them might not be able to afford the regular, you know, 40-hour person. But if they come together, right, say, for example, if you have four or five authors come together and then they get themselves one or two VAs that cut across 40 hours for the week, you know, that, I'm telling you, that will work out so beautifully. So for those who are out there that they're trying to figure out, okay, how am I going to get, you know, get somebody to help me with VA, tell them, Marlis, how many hours, for what is your minimum hour and what is your maximum?
So with my business, the minimum hours is 20 and the maximum is 80.
Mm-hmm. See,
that's
what we're talking about. So with that, and now, who are you going to get? Which full-time person are you going to get to do 80 hours and you won't get in trouble with the employment office? You know? That you would not get, by the time it's knocking 40 hours, even the person herself will let you know that, okay, now, I'm over 40 hours. And so over 40 hours is like double time and all this other kind of stuff that you go through, that with a VA, you don't have to go through that. You can work your hours, you know, manage your hours. If you start, you can start with 20 and then work your way up slowly to 40. By the time it's getting to 40, trust me, you probably need a second one anyway.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, thank you, Princess. That was awesome.
Marla, tell us what services you offer.
So I offer administrative assistant, personal assistant, consulting, and project management services.
All right. Good, good. And how can our listeners get to your social information? Or give everybody information on how to contact you about your services.
So right now you can contact me through my website, which is, of course, I'm not going to do the W's. Everybody by now knows that you start with the www. But anyway, it's sellspaservices.com, and that's sellspaservices.com, sellspaservices.com. I also have a Facebook page for Sales PA Services, and I'm working on LinkedIn, but I'm not ready to release the LinkedIn just yet.
Awesome. And visit us on Facebook with Southern Warrior Sister Tribe, and we'll put all Marla's information on her business. And also sign up for our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and visit us on our new website, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com.
Yay.
Marla. See, that wasn't too bad, was it?
It was painful.
It was not painful at all. But I do have one last question for you, Marla. So other people can hear this. Did your vision play a part in bringing this business to light, and how did you stay focused?
Oh my gosh! Wow, that's a big question, Maxine. So, did my vision play a part? Okay, yes, it played a huge part because, you know, once I made the decision, once I settled the decision within myself, you know, because you know that's what we have to do. We have to settle decisions within ourselves to do something. Once I did that, then I just, you know, worked steadily on bringing it to manifestation. So starting with, you know, number one, deciding exactly what it was that I wanted to focus on with the business, and then just building from that step, because that to me was step number one, was deciding what I wanted to do, because honestly the business can encapsulate a lot more than what I put forth in that regard. However, I wanted to focus on certain aspects. Now, let me say this. When you go to my website, there are, you know, I listed on there all of the aspects of the business, and there are a lot of them, which means various tasks that will be performed by the, you know, by the business. However, in just giving it a name and giving it a vision or a point for the business, I only settled on those three things just to keep it narrow enough so that it's easy enough to talk about. Because if I start saying, well, here's the 50 things that I'll do, it just gets too convoluted. So when you go to the website, you can see all of the other, you know, 47 things that I have listed out there. So so basically that was it. It's just, you know, that ground step of deciding what I wanted to focus the business towards.
Right.
I have a question.
Yes, so, Sam.
What brought, of all the ideas in the world out there,
I'm going somewhere with this madness. Of all the ideas out there, why did you decide on this? Why did you choose this?
Well, here's the very simple, easy answer. I chose this because this is my area of expertise. I have 30 years, actually over 30 years, but I say 30 years because I have 30 years on the job market. I had my first admin assistant job when I was 15, working as the assistant admin at the church because my mom was the church secretary and I was her assistant. So I started at 15 being an admin assistant, but in the job market, I have 30 full years experience. So this is an area of expertise, and this is what I know inside and out. And this is, you know, this is the thing that in all these years I've been the most passionate about and I've been the most focused on.
Wow.
That's good.
Princess, that was my next question. So we were thinking alike. That's what I was going to pull out of her. Is you need to tell these people all that good experience you have because you know what you're doing. You know what you're talking about. And you know, you're going to be an awesome, awesome virtual assistant. I mean, like I said, I'm so excited about this company. And everybody saw I blasted it, too. I was like, congratulations. I was over here jumping up and down like, yes. So everybody definitely get on there and check her new business out.
Thank you. Very, very exciting. Very exciting. And humbling, but exciting.
Yeah. Well, this is what I like about it because you said something, you really said something to the effect that because this is what you've had experience in and this is your area of expertise. And so many of us out there, a lot of times, we're too quick to dismiss what our area of expertise is and running after something that is almost out of our reach so that it's important for us that even when we want to do something, you know, to get your feet wet, you need to first look within yourself at the things that you've done before. And then once you do that, it's easier for you now to now branch out into other things. So I just wanted to bring that out to people who are listening to us right now and are saying, okay, Malas is starting this. You know, Princess is writing, you know, and their sister is doing jewelry and going to be coming out with her own another business shortly. It's because it's easier for you to start something that you know than running into something that you absolutely have no clue about. Last night when you guys were talking, which I won't go into too much details into, and you were talking about your marketing plan, you don't know how I was smiling behind. That's why I was in the dark before, because I was having a blast with myself in that dark area, because when Marlon got up and was talking about her marketing plan, I said, girl, and then when Maxine got there and was talking about, and service will do this, I said, Lord Jesus. See, this is what it means when you are in your own lane. You don't have to go, you know, break a leg or break something for it. It just comes naturally. And that being natural is what people see, and that's what's going to attract people to who you are, Malas, because when you start doing assessment with them and they hear that, you won't have to convince them because they will hear exactly that you really, really, it's a place that you are comfortable with.
Right. And I'm, you know what, and that's good that you said that because, you know, as we do this show, we encounter a lot of people, and just in everyday life, we encounter a lot of people that, you know, I don't want to say they don't have a direction, but they want to put their hands in too many pots because, oh, I have experience doing this, I have experience doing that. Well, we all have a lot of different experiences doing things, but what are you really, really good at? What is the thing that you've been the most focused on your whole life? And once you figure that out, then you can hone in on that thing and run with it. Because, you know, if I said, okay, well, you know, I'm writing a book with my husband. Well, I have experience writing a book. Okay, but that doesn't make me an expert book writer. You know what I mean? It just means I have experience writing a book. So if I went out and tried to make that a business, it's not going to work because I don't really know what I'm doing. I'm learning as I go. But on something like this where I do have the experience and I have the know-how and the knowledge that I can bring to the table, it just makes sense, and it was such an easy fit. And I'm telling you, I feel so relaxed in the fact that I can say that, whereas with something else, I wouldn't be able to say that.
Right. Wow. Yeah, we definitely see that, Princess, a lot, where people are putting their hands and trying to put their hands in other baskets, and they're that's not their area of expertise, like Marlis.
That's right.
All right, so let's jump to this show today. All right, and I know people are probably wondering how they're going to tie this race in America into Freedom Isn't Free, but it's going to be so easy, and y'all are going to be so surprised. So one of the things that that I was thinking about when I put this show together is, you know, when we don't focus on race, whenever we get to that day when race is not the focus, like when we look at people and don't see their color or, you know, their, you know, ethnicity, then everybody will be free. Because we'll be free to be who we truly are. And so that ties into freedom isn't free, because everything we do has a cost to it. We know that, you know, being free here, the freedoms that we have here in America are not free to us. They're free, but they cost someone else something, whether it was, you know, just their service in the military or their life, unfortunately, it costs someone else something. So that's how it all ties in together. But let's do a little recap of our show from last week, because we had a really great discussion last week about race in America, and I want Maxine to go ahead and jump in on that, because it was a really great discussion.
Yeah, so last week we were talking about what you said about race, and I was actually looking at some of the topics, and it was something I think I may have touched on last week about implied racism, racism bias, and it's actually saying that implied racial bias, it refers to attitudes or stereotypes that affect our understanding and actions and decisions in an unconscious manner along the lines of race. So with that being said, last week I was looking at the BET Awards, and I was just like, when did the guy named Jesse Williams, when did he become an activist? So I'm thinking, I started looking back and researching, so he's always been an activist. It's just when he got that platform to speak, he took it. So that opened up a lot of people's eyes, because I didn't think, you know, I haven't heard too much, and we don't have somebody, you know, talking, you know, out loud about, you know, the racism and other things that still exist today. I'm not saying I was thinking it was that bad. You know, I see the unconsciousness of it and the hidden racism. You know, I see that all the time. But when he brought to the stage, it basically opened up a lot of people's ears and minds to be like, well, it's not really over just yet. So right. I think we still have some a long way to go about race here in America. And you know what? A story I wanted to touch on too. Sometimes it's all over the world. When I was in Nigeria, I talked to a he is an engineer there, and he actually had people maybe in London kind of be biased to him and actually ask him. They actually bought up his color. They bought up his color.
Wow.
He was a darker skin man, and he was Nigerian, and they did. And it was actually they said, well, why do you think you should apply for this job, or why do you think you can do this job? You know, you're African. I mean, and I didn't know that they were that, you know, out front with it. So, I mean, it wasn't hidden, but they, you know, touched on his race and his skin color when he was trying to get a job. But, you know, like I said, it's everywhere. But here in America, is hidden. So with that speech, it kind of brought everything to the forefront again, to where it's making everybody turn around and look at, you know, well, what's really going on? Should we be paying more attention to this? Because I think if we pay a little bit of attention to this, it'll kind of make our focus on other things, make us focus on other things that's happening prevalent right now in the news that we see every day.
Right. And seeing you said something, you said that is hidden here in America. Honestly, is it really hidden? Because, you know, we see on the, you know, we see on the news and on the social media all the time, comments and articles about, you know, things happening to people because of their race, and things like that. Or even just, what was it, last week we talked about the billboard right here in Tennessee that was erected that has the slogan "Make America White Again" on it. You know, so is it really hidden? Do we really think it's hidden? Princess? Okay, Maxine, go ahead.
I think, I don't know if it's hidden. I felt it was kind of hidden until, you know, someone does something to be like, oh, I want to get on the news, or, oh, I want to be talked about. Because every day, you know, when you go out, you know the reason why someone's looking at you a certain way. They don't really say, we don't want you here because of your kind. It's kind of, they try to hide behind it and say things in a certain way, and you can tell how they look at you and tell their word choice on how, you know, they can say certain things, and but you know what's implied. That's what
right.
I was talking about, some of the things being hidden. And those things are every day in my life, and I'm like, oh, I got you. I heard you. I see what you're doing. You know, those
right.
things I'm talking about are hidden. But when people want to, you know, put the billboards up, I think they just want that attention because this day and age, like I said last week, you can't go anywhere without seeing another race.
Mm-hmm.
There's nowhere. There's nowhere you can go, nothing you can do here in America. So you just have to adapt until you get back to your own home, until you
right.
get back to your Facebook, until you get back to social media when you can hide behind your mask.
Mm-hmm. And that's
so
what we have is a lot of hiding behind masks going on. But I wanted to get Princess's take on that question, and I think she was having an issue with her phone, but she's back now. So, Princess, do we really think
yes.
that the racism is hidden, or is it just blatant?
Oh, well, I think it's both. I think it's both. And it also depends on the area of America that you go to. There are some areas that is just like right in your face, particularly in some southern areas, it's just right in
mm-hmm.
your face. They don't like you, they don't like you, and they let you know. And
right.
there are some areas where it's like, oh, you know, oh, I have a black friend too. Oh, yes, I have a black friend too. And
uh-huh.
it's the only way they tell you they have a black friend, then you know. You know, they're
right.
in there. Because why would you come and tell me you have a black friend? How about
right.
saying you have a friend, period? You don't have to tell me he's a black friend or not. So
right,
then,
exactly.
So there are some places that is hidden, and there's some is just like, whoa, in your face. And there are some places that is just like they're just tolerant. I mean, there are some parts in New York that they're just tolerant. They have enough trouble, and race is the least that they want to even think about, and they just live together. And California is another, some parts of California, of course, not all, but very few parts of California are like that too. But, you know, our southern places, you got to watch it now because we're southern, you know, we carry the Bible, but that don't mean the Bible is enough. You know,
right.
they call us the Bible
right.
else, but racism, I mean, it lives like broad daylight, and yet we're the Bible Belt.
You know what, and so glad you brought that up because that's another interesting aspect of this whole racial thing is that, you know, we can have people who say they are believers in God, who say they believe in Jesus, who thump the Bibles, like you just mentioned, but yet and still they cannot have love for their brother or sister that has another reflection. So my question to both of you, and I want Maxine to answer this first, is how can we say that Christ lives in us or we believe in Christ when we can't do the simplest task that he's asked us to do, which is to love one another?
I think it's maybe when people take their Bible and their information and they kind of twist it to become what they want it to be. They manipulate certain things and passages in the Bible and scriptures in the Bible and you know, maybe even other Bibles to actually say I'm right and you're wrong. Or it was probably a long time ago that when they said brother and sister, they meant their brother and sisters and not any other race. So I think that was, you know, a big point about what happened in the past that people are still kind of generalizing it and just making it towards one race.
Yeah, I'm kind of could you repeat that again? Because you're kind of cutting out, in and out.
Oh, okay, I'm sorry. So, can you hear me?
What was that question again?
Okay, so my question was, you know, when we have people that say that they believe in God, they believe in Jesus, they, you know, run around carrying their Bibles, but yet they cannot have love for a brother or sister of another color. You know, where, you know, what do we think about that?
Well, all I just have to say is this: bless them, Lord Jesus. I mean, what do you say? Bless them, Lord Jesus. That's all you can say. Bless them, Lord Jesus. Because I don't even know how to address that kind of question. Tell you the truth, I don't know. Because what do? You only have control over what you think. You only have control over yourself, but you don't have control over somebody else. And so when they come at you with that kind of behavior, all you can just say is just hand them over to the person who is greater enough to understand who created the heaven and earth, who created us in his own image. And when he said us, he didn't say white or black. He said us. He created man. You know, he didn't say I created man, white man and white woman, black man. No, he said I created man. In my own likeness. And so if we find people like that, all we have to do is just hand them over to that creator and let, you know, let him fix them.
Right. So, you know, we're thinking about this, and I'm thinking about some of the things I see on television and some of the racism, you know, here. Do you think it's because they want to keep somebody oppressed? Or they want to maybe feel better about themselves? Because what I'm thinking about is that you're focusing on the wrong thing. You need to be focusing on terrorism and other things like that, and some laws that are changing that we can't do anything about, that we have to adapt to. I'm not saying the fear is they're going to concentrate on the racist part of it and keep trying to push this racism and this type of agenda. You're going to let some things fall through the cracks. And then you're going to start stuffing like, okay, man, wait a minute. We haven't been focusing on this. Wait a minute. What happened? So do you think it's because of they're trying to, you know, racists try to keep people oppressed?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I heard a comedian, and I think it was last week I was listening to it because somebody posted it on social media, and I watched a little clip. And the comedian said basically, now he had a lot of cursing in it, so I ain't going to go there, obviously. But his point was this. His point was, you know, as long as, you know, people of other colors, and he was basically talking about black people and Mexicans, as long as they were serving the other race, the white race, as long as, you know, we're in that serving, subservient role, things were fine. the minute that we're no longer in that role and we're no longer serving or being subservient, there's an issue. And he likened it to, you know, every time you hear someone say, oh, we don't want those people in our neighborhood. But he said, it's okay if we're there cutting your grass or cleaning your garage or, you know, working in your house, doing, you know, doing menial tasks in your house, that's fine. But if we can buy the house next door to you and live next door to you, that's a problem.
Wow.
So with saying that, yes, it is about, you know, because the thing that we know is that in order to make yourself feel better, you have to put somebody else down. So people that have that mindset, if they can't put another person down, they can't feel good about themselves. So in essence, that's what it's really all about. I need to feel better about myself. I need to feel superior. So how can I do that? Let me oppress and put this person or these people down so I can do that.
Right.
Well, that was one of the things that I mentioned the last time, that anytime you hear racism, right, it's all about suppressing, oppressing. It's all about that. Even when we talk about racism in schools, right, it's not even bullying. We talk about bullying, but it's also racism because you are bullying somebody. You have something against that person. And a lot of times, even I myself, I found myself doing where myself and my husband were trying to lose weight, right? Okay, so he's doing a great job with his. I might not be doing quite well with mine. And so he decides, okay, today I'm just going to have today off, and I'm going to have some scoops of ice cream. Guess what? I'm looking, the wife looking at her, him, and saying, well, why are you having that ice cream? Now you know we're on diet. You know, and I go. The reason why I'm doing that is not so much because of that man. It's so much because I know that I have failed woefully at what he is doing a great job at, and he didn't even know that he's doing a great job at it. So my goal is to make sure that I'm going to use that tool, that ice cream, to make him feel that he's not doing anything where that is concerned.
Right.
Are you hearing me? So that is even the most simplest form of what we're talking about. That's the most simplest form of what we're talking about. Now, when we're talking about the other ones, the race, and now up that 100 or 1,000 times. So when somebody looks at you and say you this black whatever, it's simply because there's something in them that they do not like. And there's a light on you that you are not even aware that you have. And so their goal is to make sure that you stay in that ignorance.
That's true.
Stay in that ignorance.
Yep, that's true. That's very true. That is very true. So, Maxine, so you talked about, you know, the implicit racial bias. I'm sorry, was it implicit? Did you say that? You did say that.
Yes.
Implicit. I'm trying to get the words out of my mouth. That's the problem. But so let's talk about this. Let's just cover this again. The difference between saying racist or racism versus saying racial bias, because, you know, we can say racial. You know, we can say that somebody is racially biased because of a lot of factors, but racism, obviously, we know that's inbred, right?
Right.
Okay, you have to let me understand that.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Help me
so
to understand that. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I probably talked in a circle, but basically, my question is, what is the difference between saying racist, that someone is a racist, or saying someone is racially biased?
Right. And I think that it's because of now it's kind of socially unacceptable to be a racist, you know, during civil rights and the understanding of racism. So it's like majority of our people are not racist according to that understanding. So, you know, I think there is a difference because it's our race relations here that play a big part of it, because some of the statistics say that white people, they think it's like a 60%, 60% of whites think that racism is still exists, and they said it's worse. And then blacks, we think that it's 56% worse. So, and you know, on this poll, everybody thought that it was about the same, 58% worse. So the race relations here, you know, in the United States, is I don't know if it's getting better or worse, just because, you know, some of them can hide behind certain things and it's not as blatant. I have something else I wanted to say. I want everybody to visit us on Facebook on Southern Warrior Sister Tribe and find out all the information about Marlis' new business. And if you have any comments or any questions, please leave us some information or ask us on our website on Facebook. And also sign up for our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com. And visit us on our new website, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com.
Yay. So we're down to like about 15 minutes before the end of our show. And this has once again been a great, you know, it's just been a great discussion that we're having today. But I think we may have lost her again. I'm sorry. So Max.
Oh, no, that's fine. We can transition to the next topic.
We'll just keep going. But anyway, so we also want to touch on, so like I said at the start of the show, this is, you know, July 2nd, and it's the weekend that we celebrate. Obviously, July 4th is on Monday, but it's the weekend that we celebrate here in the United States, Independence Day or 4th of July, whatever, you know, whatever you want to refer to it as. But we celebrate that here. And so, you know, the whole auspices of that day or the celebration is celebrating the freedom that we have here in the United States. And so with that being said, like I said, you know, we wanted to, you know, tie these two together, you know, race in America, because obviously when we do not see color or do not see race when we look at another person, we can all be free. I don't know when that is going to be, but that's the ultimate goal. And then being celebrating the freedom that we have here in America. So my question to you, Maxine, is, you know, because we're considered the free country, you know, do you feel that you have the ability to be free here in the United States?
Oh, definitely. Yes, I do. And I love being here in America. And because if I think about it, I'm looking at some things just touching on what we have here. Sometimes I don't agree with certain things, but I'm able to walk outside of my house and apply for any type of job I want. Who knows, I may not get it because I don't know what's going on the other side or what that person is thinking, you know, about race, but you can't show that. A lot of those things, you know, you may be, you may have lawsuits up against you. I haven't heard of anything recently about lawsuits of, you know, having my liberties to apply, to go out to different venues, anything like that. Because with our freedom, I'm thinking of civil liberties, personal freedoms, everything you can think of, freedom of speech, right of privacy. So we do have a lot of freedoms here. I think the only thing that we're concentrating on is something in everybody's mind. I think that's the part where it's missing, the freedom of our minds, because if certain people think a certain way their whole lives, that you're not free.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think mentally. But here are civil liberties and our personal freedoms. You know, our government, they guarantee us that. So I love living in America. I don't think I can live anywhere else. I would say that right now, but I don't know, things maybe could change, but you have to watch when you're in a different country what you post and if you're being watched and what you can say and what you can't say. So it's very touchy, you know, touch and go. That was one of the things that I was like, when I was speaking in Nigeria, I was like, okay, I need to watch what comes out of my mouth and my word choice, because if any of this is recorded or any of this is, if they're writing down what I'm saying or any, you know, anything like this, I have to watch what I say, and I have to keep what I'm saying customized to like a child issue.
Mm-hmm.
So how do you feel about it, Marlis?
Well, obviously, I agree with what you said about, you know, being here in America. It is, you know, as much as people have their own differing opinions, this is the greatest country because we do have more freedoms than any other country on the earth. And so with that alone, that makes this the most desirable place to be, you know. And then, like you said, we have the ability to walk outside the door and not have to be dressed a certain way, not have to feel that we're inappropriate in some form or fashion, whereas in other countries, things are not like that. You know, you have to, you know, especially in certain countries where women are not viewed as important as the men in society, and they have to come out of their homes, you know, covered completely and things like that. We have that freedom here in this country. And then, you know, sometimes when you think about it, there may be too many freedoms, but at the same time, it is what it is. And you have to maneuver and deal and live accordingly to, you know, to the environment that's going on around you. That's just my take on it.
I think she still has an audio.
Oh, I'm here. So here is what I wanted to say about that, that when you look, I mean, I look at my background, where I come from, Nigeria and Africa as a whole, and then also you look at Europe too, the way that their race is different, and which is kind of similar to that in Africa. So I'm here, and I can't help but being grateful for the freedom that we have here. And just like you said, Marla, that freedom is giving us ability to be able to do some things, and then Maxine said to be able to say some things, and that is actually made America the best, I mean, one of the greatest places to live. And I also want to go to the other side, right? That because it's actually made it the greatest place to be, it's also made it the most dangerous place to be, particularly for those who are Christians and are trying to raise their family in a Christian way. So the more freedom that we have, the more danger that we are exposing our families to, because, you know, you have that freedom, but yet you don't have that freedom to be able to raise your child the way you want to raise your child. You have that freedom, but I don't necessarily want my child. I want my child to go to school and be taught the word of God, but I don't have a right to that. I have that freedom, but yet my child can go to school and they can whip out a book and say, hey, you know, Lola has two mommies. And nobody asks me. Nobody asks me about that before they do that. So that's where the danger lies, that the more freedom we have, then we also have to understand the other side of it, the more dangerous decisions that we make, particularly those that are in the government, the more dangerous decisions that they make for us, which also invariably will make America vulnerable. Because let's look at all the empires that have gone up and went down. All the empires in the past, they went up, they were the biggest, the largest, the whatever, and they had so much freedom that people would even be having sex on the street and others would just be walking past them. they were sleeping with each other's brother, sister, sleeping with sister, raising a child so that they can have a king. You know, all those empires, where are they today? And so we need to be conscious of that now. As Americans, be grateful for that freedom, but do not take it for granted and be very mindful and watchful that though we have that freedom, we don't necessarily have to exercise the whole freedom.
Mm-hmm. Right. And that kind of speaks to the point, you know, the direction that I was going in when I said that, is that, yes, this is, you know, the greatest country on the face of the earth, and it's the most desirable place to be. But at the same time, because we have so many freedoms and liberties here, you know, it can quickly turn on us too, which we're seeing that now. You know, like you said, you know, you're trying to be a Christian and raise your family in a Christian environment, but yet other things are now open and acceptable around you. And that's not to put anybody down. That's not to step on anybody's, mm-hmm. you know, toes or feelings about whatever. But, you know, the thing that I always say is that, you know, here in this country, we're all free to think and feel and believe what we want to. But at the same time, sometimes those things that others are thinking and feeling and believing infringe on the other person next to them. So if I don't, like, you know, like your example of, you know, your child goes to school and they're teaching them that, Lola has two moms. If that's not what you want to teach your child, that's an infringement mm-hmm. on your rights here at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
This is a tough one. This is a tough discussion in English.
With the 4th of July coming up, I just saw this quote about, and I'm going to get it to why I'm reading this. It's from President Barack Obama. It says, "Our nation owes a debt to its fallen heroes that we can never fully repay, but we can honor their sacrifice."
That's right.
So with that being said, with the sacrifices, if you think about it, I just thought about that. The military is open to everyone. There's
mm-hmm.
no discrimination because you're fighting for everybody's rights. So they're going to let everybody in. And
right.
there was just a change recently that just happened that's become a law with the military. So it's going to happen on its own. Even though they fight for our liberties and civil rights and everything like that, we have to adapt to the change. I don't know if things are changing quick to you guys, but it feels like it's changing really, really fast for me. And I'm just, I have my own opinions about some things, but I have to adapt to change. So, you know, that's one thing we definitely need to do. We need to honor our soldiers for their sacrifice on the 4th of July.
Absolutely, absolutely. And with that being said, I think we got about 5 minutes left on the show. So let's turn our focus to doing just that. You know, like I said, this is our 4th of July weekend, our Independence Day celebration, and this is a time in America where we celebrate that freedom given to us here. And so, you know, one of the things that we know is that we would not have these freedoms and have such liberties and have such opportunities if it were not for the people that paved the way for us. And we do want to definitely celebrate our military families and all of the people that served and have served, and especially those that fought and lost their lives so that we can be free here. We want to just say thank you to you guys, and God bless you, because without your sacrifice, we would not have the environment that we have right now. And so we just want to say thank you to everybody that has either been in the military, know somebody in the military, or are in the military themselves.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely. We appreciate that.
Yes.
And we talked about this last year, I think, 2015. Yeah, we talked about it last year. I just wanted to say one thing to some of our listeners. If you have small kids, teenagers, even adults, if you fire fireworks around your home or anything, please be mindful if you do have a veteran living in your neighborhood. because they may have some trauma there with some of the things going on. So be mindful of who's in your neighborhood. And I think they may have something to where they put up a different light bulb, and I'm not sure if they're doing, if some people are doing that this year, but watch sometimes people's porches, and if they put up a light, that means don't fire any fireworks around their home because it can bring back some memories, post-traumatic disorder. So please be mindful of that with your children and other things like that. So I, that's the only thing I wanted to say, is just to be mindful, and I understand why it could be an issue.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. And also, if you are, you know, if you're going to be out there celebrating the fireworks and things like that, please watch your kids. Watch your kids, because, you know, we see too many stories of, you know, the day after the celebration and this child is hurt and that child lost a finger and all that sort of stuff. So watch your kids. Be careful. Keep it in a safe environment, because, you know, although we're celebrating, it stops being a celebration the minute somebody gets hurt.
That's right. So I'm going to give our plug.
Go ahead, Maxine.
I wanted to give our plug on the last minute of the show. Visit us on Facebook on Southern Warrior Sister Tribe and like our Facebook page. Also visit us on our blog page, SouthernWarriorSisterTribe.com, and visit us on our new website, WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com.
WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. I still love saying that. All right, so down to our last, you know, two precious minutes here. Let's give some wisdom nuggets or just final thoughts, either ones that you want to share. So let's start with you, Maxine, and then we'll go to Princess, and then I'll wrap it up.
Okay, it's just my final thought. Be an advocate for our military. So if you see someone, just say thank you and shake their hand, or say thank you. And especially if you see somebody in the military outfits and their uniforms, just say thank you.
All right.
Princess?
For me, is just be thankful. You know, I know that we're still a long ways from being, like, free from racism, but where we are right now, we can still be thankful.
Amen.
Be thankful.
Mm-hmm. Amen. That's awesome. And I guess my final thought goes along the line of what you said, Princess, to just be thankful. You know, we live in the greatest country. For those of us that live here, because we got listeners everywhere, but for those of us that live here, we do live in the greatest country on the planet of the earth. It has its bad sides. It has its good sides. But at the same time, it is the best country to be in. And so we are all thankful and proud to be a part of this country and to be able to live here and enjoy the freedoms and the liberties that we have at all times. And so with that being said, we're going to wrap up today's show. It's been an awesome, awesome show. Thank you, ladies, for joining me today. Thank you all for calling in and logging in on Blog Talk. We thank all of you guys, because without you guys, we would not be here. So with that being said, we're going to bid you all adieu. Have a wonderful weekend. If you're here in America, happy 4th of July to you. Happy weekend to everyone else. If you're not here, and with that, we're just going to say be inspired, be motivated, be authentic, and most of all, be of sentimental value. Bye-bye for now. God bless.
Thank you for being a part of the Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sister Talk Radio. We hope that you have gained valuable insight and garnered some life tools to help you maneuver your life path. Please join us next time when we will bring you another exciting episode of Princess Fomi and her Southern Warrior Sisters Talk Radio. If you want to find a tribe of women who are ready to mentor others by sharing their own success stories, get on board with this women-centric radio show from the Southern Warrior Sisters now. And please, don't forget to join the tribe at WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. Again, it is WarriorSistersWorldChangers.com. Until next time.